in the building. Praise the Lord. It's just something about God. It's people when we get together. Amen. It's something to that. I get excited, spiritually invigorated, when God's people get together. Yes. And this just a foretaste of heaven, folks. Just think when you have your mortality bodies, and it would be so diversified up there, you know? The Baptists, Presbyterians, the Lutherans, even a few Catholics. Can you imagine that? Praising God and throwing your crowns to the Lamb of God.
Amen.
That's beautiful. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth, the psalmist said in Psalm 78, verse 1. I'm glad to be back today. I missed you. Unfortunately, my mother had to go to the hospital and everything, and she pretty weak and feeble at this time, and she declined hospitalization of her choice, and so that's what she wants to do. She wants to stay in an apartment and don't want to be hospitalized and everything. So just all I can do is to tell you just to pray for her. We welcome you today in our worship and our praise service. And we're just so excited that you're here today. And again, we thank Brother Tim Holly for visiting us today, as well as our candidate-elect, Pastor Perkins, and his beautiful wife, Lori. Thank you, folks. Okay. I think that's all announcements that I have. So today, the theme will be times of completion. We're going to be brief. We're going to be to the point. And we're just going to ring out. We rung out the old year, and we want to ring in the new year and give it to the Lord. Times of completion. And I want you, if you have your scripture, turn with me in the book of Acts, chapter 14, verses 21 through 28. And when they had preached the gospel in that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them the elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Pergamum, they went down to Eleatha. And they sailed to Antioch, from whence they have been commended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they had come and gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith into the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. May the Lord would add a rich blessing to the reading of his eternal word. Let us pause for a few moments and depend upon God these few moments as we teach and preach his holy word. Father in heaven, we just so ecstatic to come boldly to the throne of grace. And we would pray, Lord, that you would speak to hearts, that you would challenge your people to a better life, a life that's completed in Jesus Christ already. Names that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, fit for heaven, that we be better stewards and followers and ambassadors for your name's sake. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name, amen. Times of completion. You know, Christian friend, as we start this year from, well, dismal to hope, completion, you know, our congregation is no different than any other congregation. We grieve over our wayward children. We encounter death of loved ones this past year, broken relationships. But we rejoice over changed hearts. Many of us, we have grandchildren that have been born, include myself, graduates, higher education in college, and other victories that we had celebrated in 25. We have faith-building memories of God's unchanging character and dependability. We may have the burden of uncompleted tasks before us that may weigh us down, and there's no ending of responsibilities in our busy schedules and agendas. But today, at the end of the day, we should thank God in our journey that's unseen in 2016. It's unseen. We do not know what a day life before us. But we should thank God for our journey of faith. We should pause and celebrate God's faithfulness. He's been faithful to us. And the task is incomplete yet. We see in our narrative, these few verses that I read, the Apostle Paul and Barnabas was upon an inauguration mission, if you may, of getting the good news to many souls as possible, which we should be doing too. We're going to do this. I got 30 days left, and I got to see this church filled up and help our brother. Amen. Like they did. And Paul, Silas, Barnabas, Peter can do it. We can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. But it takes work, folks. Teamwork makes the dream works. You know that. So the gospel was presented to many souls as possible. Research shows that they traveled some 900 miles delivering the word of God. They didn't have high tech. They didn't have computers and transportation and airlines and you name it. But they had faith. Thank you, brother. And we're going to be more accountable. Did you know that? We got the literature. We got the publishing, we got good colleges, we got everything at our disposal. And so they traveled some, on his first missionary, some 900 miles, as research shows us. And our verse says that they sailed back to Antioch, where they had committed to the grace of God for the word they had now completed. What are we completing today? We say we walk by faith and not by sight. We need to be in completion. He that had begun a work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit, beloved, led them through the cities of that journey of Lystra, just of Iconium and Derbe. Let us notice our text in verse 21. And when they had preached the good news or the gospel to that city, they had taught many. They had taught many, the word of God says. They returned again. They backtracked again to these cities. It is noted that Paul and Barnabas was called by the Holy Spirit on Paul's, again, first missionary journey. You and I, we have a coming journey in this year. Opportunities, obligations, responsibility. Are we going to fulfill them for the cause of Christ, that is? Are we going to answer that call as the early church disciples did? They did it. After much fasting, we don't hear that word too much, fasting. And that's something that should be personal. You don't need to have to let everybody know you're fasting. And praying. And I was just learned a new art about praying. I watched a rabbi on TV, and he said, when you pray, don't pray with these mechanical words that other people can see and say and look at you and everything. Pray verbally. Don't pay no attention to what others are thinking when you pray. And I thought about that concept. Sometimes I kind of lay out my stuff and try to use a few sophisticated words. No, we need not to do that. So they prayed. They fasted. And they prepared themselves, praying for the church, praying for souls after much fasting at Antioch. The elders laid hands on them boldly, proclaiming the gospel and seeing sinners to repent. They preached the word in the synagogue, starting on the Sabbath day, and after the reading of the law and the prophets, the scripture says, men of Israel and you that fear of God, give audience. They were making progress as almost the whole city came to hear the word of God. But the opposition came from the Jews. So when you and I preach the gospel, there will be opposition. There will be a problem. This is why Jesus said you almost have to hate your family or have a lesser love for your family if you want to follow Jesus Christ. That's just the way it is. The Jews, they saw the spirit of the transformation of many, many people that had got converted. the multitude. They were filled with, these Jews was filled with envy and spoken against the gospel in contradictory and blasphemy what was said. In spite of being stonewalled and much opposition from Satan, Paul knew he were to be a light to the Gentiles and a delivery of salvation to the Gentiles. Paul saw the abundance of God's life-changing power to the Gentile world. They glorified the Lord as they, such as were ordained to eternal life, believed. They believed. The Bible says these disciples was filled with joy. When the last time you and I experienced some joy in our Christian experience? They were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Have we forgotten we can do all things through Christ which strengthen us? Which strengthens us, Philippians 4:13 shares with us. I challenge you, Christian friend, you're to rejoice as a strong man to run a race. We're supposed to run a race this year. Let us lay aside every weight and every sin which do so easily set us back or besets us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. What is that? The gospel. We need to be presenting the gospel more and more as we see the day of the Lord that's coming. We just celebrated Christmas. And I found that Christmas is related to the future. That was just the first event Jesus Christ came. He came as a little babe. We just celebrated that. Unto you a son is given. But this same Savior one day, the Bible says he's coming back. He's coming back not as the little babe in a manger, but he's coming back as a judge. And we must get people ready because the judge is coming back. The rescue is coming back. The King of Kings is coming back in a moment and a twinkling of an eye. And this is why, Christian friend, we must seize every opportunity to complete what he began in our lives. It was the living Christ that empowered Paul and Barnabas and Peter and others. You know, Jesus, you remember Jesus' words to them and to us? He said in John 7:37, if any man thirst, listen. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This is what is the criteria that we need today in our delivery and before us. That's what the disciples had. They had the living water. They was thirsty. And they went out boldly and courageously at great cost. And this is what they had. They had the great prophecy of the Holy Spirit in their lives that was energizing them. So we need to listen to the Spirit of God, because the Bible says all authority, Jesus said, all authority, all power is given unto me. We have the empowerment at our disposals. Jesus Christ under the auspices of Jesus Christ, we have the word of God and the boldness we should have, the supernatural prerequisites for the empowerment, we can say with Paul, being confident of this very thing, that he which have begun a good work in us will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. So this year should be about our Father's business, point blank. Look at verse 22 quickly. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that which must, he says, and we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. This shows the courageousness and the commitment of sharing the gospel that they once appearance, and that they went through Derbe and Lystra to share the fruitful of many souls for Christ. Here in this verse, rather than leaving these new converts to figure their spirituality out, Paul and Barnabas returned to the very place that they was endangered, their lives, and fearlessly continued to teach others, which we should be doing, to obey its truths. Kind of making a spiritual impact and a follow-up and evangelism and all the rest. Let us never forget, all power again has been given to the Lord. And as the disciple, he tells us to go and to make disciples to all nations. They took this literally, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to do all things that I command you. And Christ promised us, lo, I am with you. He is with us. Emmanuel is with us. God is with us, even to the ends of this age. Also, it's worth examining the text here. The disciples strengthened them, these followers, these new converts. And they encouraged, when the last time you and I encouraged somebody that's new in the faith and spent some 20 minutes with them? And the thrust of this is, this is going to go through many tribulations that they encountered. Yes, Paul raised the dead. Yes, he healed diseases and everything, but he had tribulations as well. Yes, he asked Christ to three times to deliver him from some type of physical ailment, but he still was morally in a body. We must enter the kingdom of God. And one of the first deacons of the early church, you know, that experienced the martyrdom, it was who? Stephen. That was the cause. As he entered into the kingdom of God, he literally entered into the kingdom of God right here in this verse, in verse 22. And he said, Father, forgive them. Just like Jesus did on the cross. His persecutors. So this year of 26, we must follow Christ and complete what he has already done. We as his masterpiece, we as his workmanship, we must consider the cost to follow Jesus Christ. You remember the parable Jesus shared, suppose one of you wants to build a tower and he asks, you want to sit down and estimate the cost to build a tower, you know, and consider, can you finish it if you have enough money or whatever? And, you know, someone stated, following Jesus only because of what we can do for us is a road to nowhere. But following him for him, the man of Galilee, means turning daily from sin and self-focus to live for him and his kingdom. That's what it's all about, friends. Carrying our cross daily, denying self, we must present our bodies a living sacrifice daily, carrying our cross. As he put it, change. We need to change. We like Paul and Barnabas, they understood the required self-denial and sacrifice to follow the radical commitment Christ demands. No one is to take precedence over Jesus in our lives. We must have a lesser love than even our families to follow Jesus Christ, or you cannot be my disciple, Christ tells us this year. So let us not only come boldly to the throne of grace, but boldly give our lives to him. Commit, have a fresh start effect, if you may, for 2026. Don't be like the rich man, the ruler. He would not pay the price. And I'm not going to have time to read it, but he was telling Jesus, well, I didn't done this. I kept all these prerequisitions from my youth and everything. But I want you to follow me and drop everything. And the rich man turned it down because he was had too much going for himself. And he could not follow Jesus Christ wholeheartedly. What about you and I? Are we ready to deny ourselves in 2016 for the cause of Christ like Stephen did? Lord, forgive them. In closing, verse 23 and 28, this summarizes that these early disciples, they established a permanent leadership in these churches. They spent time, quality time with the converts, reaching out. And they were appointed by the elders, which enhanced even more evangelization. And that's what we should be about. We should be about our Father's business this year. And let's get real. To evangelize, and they did it. And as it opened the faith to the Gentile world through the scattering of Christians, they thought, Satan's thought. And all this took within a year. And we got a year to do this. Incidentally, we have a year. We got 365 days of this year. And let us boldly come to the throne of grace and seek him in time of need. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful occasion that we can congregate corporately to